We are joined right now by a golf analyst and an author. Author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season. He is a friend of the program. He is Robert Lucetich. Robert, good to have you back. How are you?
Ryan, always good to be on, mate.
You too. Good to have you back, Robert. Thank you. Bryson DeChambeau, U.S. Open champion. What is your reaction when you hear those words, and what do you make of what you saw from him over the past 4 days?
Well, look, I mean, I think, Romy, that he's the most transformational winner of a golf major since Tiger Woods, who changed everything in 1997. Tiger obviously was a big, you know, hit at miles, great short game, unbelievable putter. But DeChambeau is, you know, Tiger always had to me, as much as Tiger was interested in the science, he wanted to know it, he was, in his heart, in his soul, he was an artist. And DeChambeau is anything but. He literally does not look, act, think, or play golf like any golfer before him. I mean, he's not interested in feels. He's just interested in feels that can be verified through science, or some would say pseudoscience, and then replicated without the need to feel. So, you know, I mean, I had a joke with someone. I said, take out the steroids, and he's actually East Germany's first golf major champion.
Robert Lucetich is joining us. What a great response. Now, the thinking had been in the past that you're not supposed to be able to just bomb your way to a U.S. Open victory, but there was a stretch where Bryson hit 4 of 21 fairways, yet still wins by 6 shots. Exactly how do you explain something like that?
Well, look, I mean, he actually explained it himself very well, and he's a very interesting, idiosyncratic cat, but He said, look, if you make the fairways too tight, what advantage does the shorter, accurate hitter have? None, because they're in the rough, and I'm in the rough way up there. But if you make the fairways too wide, what advantage does the accurate hitter have? None, because I'm 60, 70 yards by him. And he has crunched the numbers. I mean, he's a very, very unique individual. He has crunched the numbers. He's decided that this is how he's going to pursue his golf career, and it is going to be based on pushing every single limit that is in the sport right now. He had basically, after he wins the U.S. Open yesterday, he says, I am now going to test a driver that is the longest permissible shaft you can have, because he's not happy to hit at 340. He's thinking, I might be able to get it to 360, 370. And, by the way, he's eating steak and potatoes, so you can see the guys, you know, put on 40 pounds. I mean, everything he does is just different. And I think that as much as there will be those who sort of scoff at it, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. And he's doing a lot of eating. So
right.
He's a big boy, and he's just moving it out there. He's picked up tremendous distance. He's the number one guy in distance on the tour right now. But the other thing that, you know, he's also an incredible, I don't want to make it seem like this, he's a one-trick pony. Because if you watched him yesterday, in fact, all of the week, his wedge game was on point. His putting was unbelievable. And for a guy that, you know, honestly was just one of the worst putters on the tour when he first came out, because, again, a guy with no feel, that doesn't feel anything. He needs to have everything sort of verified in the way that his brain works. He has now made himself into a top 10 putter. And, again, we can talk about the fact that he braces his putter against his forearm. That was a rule that was somehow allowed by the USGA and the Royal and Ancient when they changed the rule on anchoring, where you couldn't have a putter touch your body in order to get rid of the broomstick putters and the belly putters, because they were so much appreciably better. But what did they do? They left a little the door ajar, and what does Bryson do? He just comes, you know, streaming through it and saying, oh, I can make this work. So he takes every single point of the sport and he pushes it to its extremes. And it's, you know, it's, I don't know where it's going to end, but it is interesting to watch.
Robert Lucetich joining us. It's fascinating to watch. In fact, that leads me right into my very next question. When you say you're not sure where it's going to end, like I was going to say, is this the culmination of all of his work, or is this actually just the start? Like, now that he's had the success, do you think he doubles down on these methods and takes it to another level?
I mean, double down. I think we can. He's probably tripling down. I mean, he's just been everything that he has thought since he was probably a teenager. And remember, this is how quirky the guy is. He decided that every iron in his bag should be the same length. Now, who does that? You know, I mean, it's very, very. Not only does he do it, he then makes the clubs to fit him. So, and then he makes his swing fit. So what he's very good at is making things fit ideals that he has. So I have no doubt that, you know, ultimately we used to joke years ago about what would ever happen if one of these long drive guys suddenly could putt and chip. And we're, you know, this is essentially what we're seeing. We're seeing a long drive golfer going out there and pounding it, but he can also hit wedges. He's always been a great iron player, by the way. And he was a crappy putter, but he made himself into a good putter because, again, he's got, you know, the way that he looks at putting is, if this is 13 on the stimp meter and it's 20 feet and the ball is out there, you know, three cups to the right, and I hit this at 10.1 miles per hour, it will either go in or it will go 2 feet by. And that is how he looks at putting, where you look at the great putters and they just look at the hole and they put it in. So he's just very different.
He's the mad scientist. Robert Lucetich is joining us. So, Robert, what do you make of some of Rory's comments? Rory, for instance, continued to say, quote, whether that's good or bad for the game, end of quote. He said that a couple of times when referring to Bryson's approach. How would you address that? Like, in your opinion, is Bryson's approach good or bad for the game? And then what do you make of Rory's comments?
Well, look, I don't, on a personal aesthetic level, I don't think that Bryson DeChambeau is, his approach is good for the game. I don't think that people should be putting on 50 pounds. I don't think that plaque in your heart's a good thing. I mean, but I also get that he's willing to sacrifice whatever he needs to sacrifice in order to achieve this goal. So he's definitely got that OCD way of looking at life. Like, this is where I want to go, and I'm going to get there no matter what. I think that Rory, in a lot of ways, represents the conscience of golf. And Tiger, for as great as he was, never really wanted to be that guy. He never wanted to be the guy that says, this is what I think is best for golf. And he did it on certain times, but generally speaking, he did not. Rory has got a different sort of personality, and I think that also, you know, a much more, most of his peers, you know, really like him, and he's a good guy. And I think that Rory tends to speak as the conscience of golf. And he is raising questions that I believe do need to be addressed in terms of pushing the boundaries of the sport. So at some point, is it just going to be, you know, and maybe this is what's going to happen. Maybe we just get, you know, a bunch of 6'5", 270-pound, you know, gorillas out there and knocking at 400 yards and they learn how to hit a wedge from the rough onto the green. I mean, but is that the sport we want? And I think that there is that element of aesthetics and tradition that Rory stands for. And I personally think that, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to say that it's sour grapes because he got beat. But I don't believe Rory thinks that way, and I believe a lot of other guys also look at DeChambeau and wonder, you know, is the mad scientist really the way that you know, professional golf wants to go?
I was going to ask you, like, generally speaking, I mean, that's Rory's point. That's his point of view. What is your sense as to what other players on tour think of Bryson, generally speaking?
Well, look, I mean, he's definitely a quirky fellow. I mean, and like Phil Mickelson said the other day, or he tweeted yesterday that, you know, he's the most interesting guy. Tiger likes talking to him because he's very unique and his thoughts are interesting. I don't think he's a bad guy. I mean, I don't want to portray him as some sort of an evil mad scientist, but he definitely is different. And I think that he's a bit of an acquired taste. I don't know that he's going to be having too many guys who are going to want to, you know, go out to dinner with him. And he's a little bit of a solo character within his team. But again, you know, they're going to look at him and they're going to take lessons from him. And I think that what happens when the next Bryson DeChambeau shows up, and instead of bulking up to 240, he's going to bulk up to 290. You know, at what point where is it all going to end? And I don't have an answer for it, but I know that at some point the authorities, the regulators of the game, are going to need to make decisions. And one of those decisions might just be to do nothing and just let it evolve. But at some point you would think that restricting the distance the ball travels and restricting the spring-like effect on the drivers might not be a bad idea, similar to baseball. I mean, if you gave, you know, Giancarlo Stanton an aluminum bat, I mean, the game wouldn't end. He'd never get out. These are questions that are going to need addressing.
So, Robert, finally, what do you make of him? When he was asked the question, are you going to get bigger for Augusta, he said, yes. I think I might be able to get to 245. I mean, if he puts on 10 or 15 more, what do you expect to see from him at Augusta?
Well, I mean, we know what he's going to do, which is what he said he was going to do last week, which is, I don't care, I'm hitting driver. I'm just going to hit the driver. And I'm going to hit it as far as I can, and then I'm going to go find it. And that's what he's going to do at Augusta. Now, I would have thought that Augusta is not a good fit for him, primarily because of the greens. But the greens at Wingfoot are brutal, and they were quick. They're undulating. They've got a lot of similarities. So, you know, realistically, is there, you know, what's going to stop him? I just don't know what's going to stop him. Because when he's on, look, you know, you look at his numbers. His wedge game was on. His iron game was on. His driver game was not really on, but it went so far it didn't matter. And remember this, at Augusta, there is no real rough. There is what they call the second cut, which is you know, very short rough. But there's no real cut. So, you know, you can just pound it out there. And we're going to have, November is we're not sure what November will bring for a Masters. It's a very different time of the year. So if it is a little chilly, I mean, I think the advantage for him is even bigger, because he's just going to be monstering it out there.
I love that. He's going to hit it as far as he can and then just go find it. He is a golf analyst. He's an author of Unplayable, an inside account of Tiger's most tumultuous season. And we do consider him a good friend of the program, Robert Lucetich. Robert, thanks so much. Great to have you back. Appreciate you.
You got it, Rami.
Nice job. Well done, Robert Lucetich. All right. There's also this amazing quote. I ran out of time. But he was walking, he did a walking interview with a reporter from Golf Magazine on Saturday. In that interview, DeChambeau was asked if he was nervous on the first tee. His response was, quote, yeah, it's definitely a little bit of nerves, but there's also other things. Sensitivity to air, how I'm perceiving reality, it's very difficult to explain.